My mother, standing against the same wall, said, "Viva my husband, who was the mayor of this village." And I hoped they would shoot me too, and I was going to say, "Viva la República y vivan mis padres." But instead there was no shooting, but instead the doing of the things. Listen, I will tell thee of one thing, since it affects us. After the shooting of the Matadero, they took us, those relatives who had seen it but were not shot, back from the Matadero up the steep hill into the main square of the town. Nearly all were weeping, but some were numb with what they had seen, and the tears had dried in them. I myself could not cry. I did not notice anything that passed, for I could only see my father and my mother at the moment of the shooting, and my mother saying, "Long live my husband, who was mayor of this village," and this was in my head like a scream that would not die but kept on and on. For my mother was not a Republican, and she would not say "Viva la República," but only "Viva my father," who lay there, on his face, by her feet. But what she had said very loud, like a shriek. And then they shot, and she fell, and I tried to leave the line to go to her, but we were all tied. The shooting was done by the Guardia Civil, and they were still there waiting to shoot more when the phalangists herded us away and up the hill, leaving the Guardia Civiles leaning on their rifles and leaving all the bodies there against the wall. We were tied by the wrists in a long line of girls and women, and they herded us up by the hill and through the streets to the square, and in the square they stopped in front of the barber shop, which was across the square from the city hall. Then the two men looked at us, and one said, "That is the daughter of the mayor," and the other said, "Commence with her." Then they cut the rope that was on each of my wrists, one saying to others of them, "Tie up the line," and these two took me by the arms and into the barber shop, and lifted me up and put me in the barber's chair, and held me there. I saw my face in the mirror of the barber shop, and the faces of those who were holding me, and the faces of three others who were leaning over me. And I knew none of their faces, but in the glass I saw myself and them, but they saw only me. And it was as though one were in the dentist's chair, and there were many dentists, and they were all insane. My own face I could hardly recognize because my grief had changed it, but I looked at it and knew that it was me. But my grief was so great that I had no fear nor any feeling but my grief. At that time I wore my hair in two braids, and as I watched in the mirror, one of them lifted one of my braids and pulled on it so it hurt me suddenly through my grief, and then cut it off, close to my head with a razor. And I saw myself with one braid and a slash where the other had been. Then he cut off the other braid, but without pulling on it, and the razor made a small cut on my ear, and I saw blood come from it. Canst thou feel the scar with thy finger? Yes. But would it be better not to talk of this? This is nothing. I will not talk of that which is bad. So he had cut both braids close to my head with a razor, and the others laughed, and I did not even feel the cut on my ear. And then he stood in front of me and struck me across the face with the braids, while the other two held me, and he said, "This is how we make red nuns. This will show thee how to unite with thy proletarian brothers, bride of the Red Christ." And he struck me again and again across the face with the braids which had been mine, and then he put the two of them in my mouth and tied them tight around my neck, knotting them in the back to make a gag, and the two holding me laughed. And all of them who saw it laughed. And when I saw them laugh in the mirror, I commenced to cry, because until then I had been too frozen in myself from the shooting to be able to cry. Then the one who had gagged me ran a clippers all over my head, first from the forehead all the way to the back of the neck, and then across the top, and then all over my head, and close behind my ears, and they held me so I could see into the glass of the barber's mirror all the time that they did this. And I could not believe it as I saw it done, and I cried, but I could not look away from the horror that my face made, with the mouth open, and the braids tied in it, and my head coming naked under the clippers. And when the one with the clippers was finished, he took a bottle of iodine from the shelf of the barber. They had shot the barber too, for he belonged to a syndicate, and he lay in the doorway of the shop, and they had lifted me over him as they brought me in. And with the glass wand that is in the iodine bottle, he touched me on the ear where it had been cut, and the small pain of that came through my grief and through my horror. Then he stood in front of me and wrote UHP on my forehead with the iodine, lettering it slowly and carefully as though he were an artist. And I saw all of this as it happened in the mirror, and I no longer cried, for my heart was frozen in me for my father and my mother and what happened to me now was nothing, and I knew it.